How long gone? Sunday. Them jeans, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. Still coming out of my funk from 420. I watched Sublime on 420 live at Coachella from my house while I was eating chips and cheese. It was ethereal for me.
Yeah, I didn't really notice it was 420 until I walked by the No Jumper, That's a Whole Lot of Cough Syrup pop-up in Soho yesterday, where several people were partaking in the devil's lettuce, you know, kind of just out on the street there.
Chiefing on the street, but also in NYC, what else is new, right?
It's actually, I feel like it, maybe it's just because it hasn't been, I mean, yesterday it was beautiful outside, but I feel like a year ago it was really bad. I feel like it's calmed down a little bit, but it's crazy to see like white nerds smoking weed in public. Like, it just, I don't know. It just blows my mind.
Andy Sandberg, Lazy Sunday kind of,
exactly.
Kind of vibe.
Like an Andy Sandberg and his chick walking home from their jobs with like backpacks on sharing a joint is just, nothing is less cool.
That's not a thing that I've seen, but I guess I don't live in a place where that stuff like that would happen. Where I see it all the time, but they're not coming from their jobs in LA. They're coming from their retreats.
They're coming from a grocery store, whichever one they kind of had a couple hours to kill midday.
We went to Ojai for the grocery shopping. Just make a day of it.
We drove to Ojai. The Clementines are just sweeter. They're just better there. So it was worth it.
The Seville oranges just came in. It's worth the trip.
We had a lot of time to kill. Yeah, I got back from Dubai yesterday. After I looked at, you know, after all the flooding, they were saying the airport is fucked. Do not go to the airport. It's fucked. Got all these crazy alerts from Emirates. I'm like, God damn it, if I get stuck in Dubai, if it really does go 56 nights, mm-hmm. I'm gonna lose my fucking mind. I get to the airport, my flight leaves at 2:30 a.m. I get to the airport at midnight. It's totally fine. Ghost town, takes me 10 minutes to check in.
Okay.
So
you got lucky.
I was very, very pleased. I got lucky. And then I got on the plane. The flight didn't leave till probably 3. And I've slept. It's the longest I've ever slept on a plane. I slept for like 9 hours. So I'm pretty proud of myself. This is big for
okay.
me.
Okay. What class were you sitting in?
Business.
If I may be classist?
Business.
Okay, business.
Not to piss off Justice, but I was in business.
Oh, you were in business? Okay, so that is not... So business, that's not the top, though. It could get... You weren't in the lay flat suite. You were in a comfortable enough seating area.
I was in a lay flat, but it wasn't the... Basically, I looked at it in the suites... are nice, but it's just has a little door. That's seemed like the difference, which is nice.
Yeah, it's just a door is the only difference.
But I'm not going to eat any.
Yeah,
of that.
It's like when you go get a Thai massage. It's like, you know, do you want a curtain?
Yeah, yeah.
Or do you want a door that?
Yeah.
is as thick as a curtain? You know, it's kind of the same.
I mean, look, obviously, I would like the door just because it's the top of the top. But if I can sleep for 9 hours, then sure. I guess it's fine. You know?
Yeah, 9 hours. 9 hours sober too. That's no small feat.
I know. I only had 2 Evians before, and I was all hyped up from laughing in the lounge. The lounge is also like the Emirates lounge at the Dubai airport is like the size of a fucking football stadium. It's fucking insane.
Mm.
Like it's not very nice, but it's insane. Because of the time, it was this weird.
So it's like a house in Las Vegas.
Yeah, exactly.
Huge floor plan. Not very nice, but it's huge. A little outdated.
But the cool thing is, and of course this didn't happen when I was there because of the storm, but you board from the lounge. Like you don't have to go back out. There's gates at the lounge.
Oh, wow.
So you go straight. So you don't have to go back out into general population, which is something I've seen it a little bit, I guess, but it's definitely only on these big, like the Korean Air did it too. But of course it wasn't happening when I was there once again. So
that is a very nice touch.
It's cool. Yeah, it's very cool. But the lounge at 2 a.m. is one of the weirdest places. If everything felt absolutely psychedelic, because I'm like, I don't know how I'm awake. There's people like asleep in the lounge. There's people eating full dinner at 2 a.m. There's people drinking. It's all the behaviors were just all over the map, even more so.
I mean, I'm just impressed. I'm just impressed that the lounge is simply open at 2 a.m.
I think the airport there. I think the airports in the Middle East are just like 24 hours a day. Like there are people in Dior and Gucci like copping at 2 a.m.
Really?
Like, it's just, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
So Dubai built different.
Dubai is built different in many ways. It's built different. There's not much drainage, but there's a lot of nice, really nice things. And when I was leaving the hotel, it was like a, you know, Saturday night at you know, Friday night at midnight. And it was just fucking, it's the nicest cars I've ever seen in one place. There was 30 cars. They were $200,000 all waiting to valet. And just like, it was just a twisted scene. Twisted scene.
And what's up with the license plate low number?
Oh yeah. Kind of, yeah.
Dick size competition thing. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. I think it's about if you're rich or not. I think it's like tax brackets. Like,
it's basically the lower the number on your license plate, the higher status it is. But now, much like an NFT or a piece of art, they have auctions where you can buy license plates. And many, many cars in the UAE, and also, I guess, in London, you see them a lot in certain neighborhoods.
The other UAE.
Where the cost of the license plate far exceeds the cost of the car itself.
Yeah, it's like a taxi cab medallion in New York City. You pay $1 million to be able to drive a taxi that costs $30,000. Now, that's good stuff. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. But I kissed the ground when I got back. It was a beautiful day in New York yesterday. I went with Stevie and Craig to the new Airmail newsstand over there on Hudson Street, which was absolutely bumping. it was full on. Like, it's one of those stores, which is my favorite kind of store, as you know. Nice stuff, expensive stuff that you don't need at all. Like, there's nothing you need there, but you want a lot of it. Coffee was good, but it felt like it was the West Village on a 70 degree Saturday. So it was just like chicks in aloe with like expensive poodles vibe, you know, which is not bad.
What did you end up buying?
Nothing. I just got coffee. I just bought us some coffees. There's the magazine selection is quite good. I was impressed. So I basically had to stay up. I had to push myself through all day and just stay busy so that I could go to sleep at a regular time, which I achieved. And I feel pretty good right now.
Damn, that's so chaotic.
I'm so chaotic.
So what is there?
Are you?
Go ahead.
No. I was just going to ask you if you were wearing a Sean John tank top for the podcast today, or if you kind of you're just wearing your regular.
So you're referencing Kanye wearing a Sean John tank top in a recent photo, right?
To fuck your bitch, though. That's the thing. He's not just wearing the tank top. He's wearing the tank top to fuck your bitch, is what he said. I'm just saying what he said in the song. I didn't.
Okay.
I obviously.
Kanye, I don't think Kanye is fucking my bitch.
No, I mean, don't be too sure. You never know, bro. Kanye, I don't know. I mean, he is married, so I think it's just for fun. I think he's just having fun with us on the remix.
Just rap stuff. I saw that Kanye punched an NYC club promoter restaurateur, an LA based club promoter and restaurateur.
You know this guy, right? Or you know of him?
I know of him. I don't know them personally.
Where does he promote?
Well, he's more they more like they own like bars and restaurants and things like that now.
Okay.
But they used to be a part of the Hollywood club scene back in the day.
Okay. Where you got your sea legs. So I'm sure you guys have crossed streams at some point.
I'm sure we have. But it's such a fun story that Kanye alleges they're at the chateau and one of they're like these twin brothers and one of them bumped into Kanye's chick and then Kanye got so upset about it that he punched the guy, but he ended up punching the wrong guy because they're identical twins.
Damn. This is why you're so happy that you're fraternal, bro. You never caught one of Stewie's fades by accident.
I'm able to touch the small of women's backs all over this fine country, and they keep punching my brother in the face instead.
Stewie's definitely catching a them jeans fade before you're catching a Stewie fade. That's for absolute sure.
1,000%. Well, I brought up touching the small of the back because the funniest part was Milo Yiannopoulos released a statement saying that one of these restaurateur guys sexually assaulted her, and that's why Kanye punched him.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out how you're at Chateau Marmont at the restaurant, and how do you manage to sexually assault Kanye West's wife while Kanye? I mean, they've never been apart since they've gotten married.
No,
so.
No, they've been walking around barefoot since they got married. It's it's like a Jill Scott album out there. I don't know if Kanye needs much of a reason for anything. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's where he's at in his life, where it's not much. But this rap beef stuff,
yeah,
I've had enough.
He has one speed and it's punch.
Yeah, exactly. We do.
You've had enough.
I've had enough. We're done with the beef. Everybody needs to stop. It's not funny anymore. Drake won. Okay, we do have a guest today.
Mm-hmm.
Maya Hawke, who I spoke to recently for Puss Puss, is going to join us today. Her album, Chaos Angel, is out now.
It is not out now. It is out in 40 days.
Oh, is it? Shit. I guess I've just had it for a while. My bad. When does it come out? Sorry.
Wow.
Sorry, I've been listening to it.
Comes out at the end of May.
End of May. May 31st. I'm sorry. All right, so it comes out May 31st.
This motherfucker tried to flex.
No, I didn't. I really thought it was out. My bad. I was... Hey, Jason, we all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. You're eating at restaurants you don't want to eat at all the time to appease myself and others.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't go back to that one doctor who used your appointment to catch up on the latest headlines, their family group chat, their crossword puzzles, just because they're available right now or because they take your slightly sketchy insurance. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, listen to you, and prioritize your health. And you can search by location, availability, and insurance, so literally no compromises here, because with ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know.
ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors very close to you and instantly book appointments with them online. Just like when I'm looking for new shoes on my sites, you can filter specifically, see which doctors take your insurance, located near you, maybe find a doctor that's far away from you for personal reasons you don't want to disclose.
I use ZocDoc, and you should too.
Go to ZocDoc.com/howlong and download ZocDoc for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/howlong. ZocDoc.com/howlong.
How Long Gone is brought to you by Nutrafol. As you know, hair thinning is quite complicated. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health. And internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and most importantly, grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker, stronger hair.
Go ahead, give it a tug. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth suppy, with over 1 million people seeking thicker, stronger, faster growing hair, with considerably less shedding. Thank God. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair for a limited time. Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code HOWLONG, all one word. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists and professional stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol. I got Raf on the nut.com promo code how long. That's Nutrafol.com promo code how long.
I feel like this might be the first time, Jason, that one of our guests has come to the table with the hot girl headphones on, ready to rock. Besides me, of course. You know, besides me. But I just feel like this might be the first time. And you went with a red pink combo?
I went with the pink and red combo. The jury is still out for these headphones for me, except their ability to be good for sleeping on planes.
I literally just used them last night on the way back from Dubai. They really do cancel the fucking noise.
They cancel the noise, and they're comfortable, like as in pillow land. Unlike in some headphones where when you lean on them, they like, you know, they attack the ear.
Attack.
Okay, so you're saying those headphones, you can lay your head on one of those headphones and it's a little soft Apple pillow that you can sleep with?
That's what I'm saying.
I feel like Tim Apple should lead with that.
I think
Maya,
that's a big feature.
Giant head, And so the bowling ball size, it's too much pressure. I don't have a nice dainty head.
Okay, okay, but do you do, if you get a little scarfy and you wrap the scarfy around the side to create a barrier so that your head doesn't collapse around.
Like a Chris, like your hemorrhoid pillow for the toilet, that kind of same energy.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. You could, in fact, could use the same pillow. You really could.
Since your head is so big. Maya, how much does your head weigh, Maya, approximately?
You know, I actually have no idea, but I do know that I have a small head in the scheme of actors. You know, actors have notoriously gigantic heads.
Tom Cruise looks like Tommy Pickles.
Yeah.
He's got the full, it's huge.
If you're not built like a Bratz doll, you're not getting a second callback. That's the way the industry works.
No, it's been a real obstacle in my career.
But your head is proportional on your body. Like it's not, but it's just for actors specifically. You're saying it's small.
It's on the smaller side of heads. like it's proportional enough. Like I do okay.
Okay.
But it's for sure on the smaller head.
Smaller side of heads. Use that name for something. I like it.
The smaller side of heads.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like when people lend me baseball caps, unless they are a child, I'm shortening the back.
Yeah. That was my next question, was a hat question. Do you wear hats and do you feel comfortable in them?
I love hats. Anything to make the head bigger, you know?
Oh, I see. Okay. You're looking to increase girth. Okay.
Have you seen Usher? There's a recent photo of Usher wearing a puffer baseball cap. Have you seen this, Maya?
I have not, but I feel like that's something I've got to get my hands on.
You've got to get your hands on it.
It's probably like Louis Vuitton or something, but it's really, it looks like a puffer jacket, but a hat with a strap and everything. He got roasted pretty bad for it.
As one should. I feel like we're months away from using CGI and AI technology to get that head a little bit bigger in post. You know, just 10% bump up in After Effects.
I think it's a great idea. The head bump. I know some actors have it in their contracts that they have to be allowed to like review the footage and like face tune their face or whatever. So maybe I could have it in my contract. I have to be allowed to do the head bump.
Damn, I got to get my money up. I got to get in a place where I can tell people they can't do anything until I approve like how my eye bags look.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
But is that the type of thing where I would assume that maybe older legacy actors would be doing that? But do you know people who are like your age that are requiring that or requesting
that? I'm talking
it's older people.
Kings of the Castle. Queens of the Kingdom, Dukes and Duchesses.
Okay. We're talking about book club 2 type shit?
We're talking about book club 2 type shit.
Yeah, book club. Yeah. Jane Fonda and Al Pacino are, you know, number... I was watching on the plane yesterday. I hit a low point and watched the Stallone family reality show. I don't know if you guys have seen this. It's Sylvester Stallone, his wife, and he's got like three hot daughters. And they like live in LA and then they live in...
Does it have a punny name for the show?
No, not even.
Still Alone?
Yeah, yes.
Family Stone.
Yes.
The Family Stallone. So oh, that was so good.
Still Alone, that's good. Family Stone. It's sitting right there.
It's sitting right there.
It's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Like one of the weirdest shows I've ever seen. And nothing really happens. Like nothing, they just kind of... Like he's shooting a TV show and they're sad that their dad's gone. Like nothing really happens, but
amazing.
I wouldn't recommend it. Is what I'll say.
I'll be sure to check it out. I'm definitely not like a family reality TV show expert. Like I don't think I've watched a single episode beginning to end of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Okay, I have to be honest. You're missing out.
I'm with you, girl.
You're missing. You're missing out.
You're not missing out. You're not missing out. They're like, what kind of salad did you get? That looks good. Can I have a bite? And then let's go to commercial.
That it is kind of what it's like, except now they're all so rich and successful that they have like insane businesses and staffs. So there's new characters that get played in.
Oh.
Not just Travis Barker, like other people get to kind of chime in.
That's nice.
If you want an office where you can pull your Bentley in to the office and park it, then this is the show for you.
Then this is the show for you. You know, funny, that's of all of my daydreams and wishes for myself and my future, I've never gone to sleep picturing that.
Okay, so you don't want to drive the Bentley SUV right onto the sound stage and just kind
of more of a Rolls Royce girl. I get it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Actually, do you have a car, Maya?
No, because I still don't have a license.
Okay. And is that because you haven't tried to get a license, or have you tried and failed?
I have a learner's permit. I have never failed the driver's test. I got my learner's permit this year. It's that I'm nervous about driving on highways.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm getting more confident about it slowly. I still haven't done it, but I'm getting confident on smaller roads. I mean, I've driven on like a 2-lane highway, like on 212 in upstate New York. I'm the master of 212, but like on these larger, like I'm in Atlanta right now, the larger Atlanta 5-lane highways where like turning left.
Yeah. You ain't hitting 85 south at rush hour.
No, I haven't done that. And I'm nervous about it, but I'm not going to let this learner's permit expire. I'm going to take the test and I will pass. I'm confident about
it. Does a learner's permit last a year?
Yeah.
Okay, so you there's a countdown going on.
So
now.
So most people get the learner's permit at 15. So you've had this permit for coming on 10 years, 11 years now.
No. I didn't have anything for the years. I my permit is new. Well, growing up in New York City, it doesn't feel that important.
Yeah.
For a while.
It's not.
And then it's not. It just doesn't feel that important. And then you go out into the world and you're like, oh, wow, like I have to do self pickup and drop off from set every day. Weird. How am I going to do that? How am I going to pick up?
I like saying, like Chris and I as civilians would say, I have to drive to the place. And then you say self drop off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I knew what you meant from context clues, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't super easy to understand.
I plan on doing a self drop off at Whole Foods later today.
Wait, oh my God, are you telling me that I have to be like my own Uber driver right now?
That's exactly it.
Are you kidding?
Driving is like Uber, but you're by yourself. It's random.
That's like so like, oh my God. Was I like on the Kardashians? Was that like you were watching the Kardashians?
That's perfect.
Don't talk about those successful businesswomen like that. They're not airheads, okay? They're successful businesswomen.
you can be both at the same time. So your philosophy with driving and driver's licenses, same as Chris's with COVID, you can never fail if you never get tested, is kind of what I see happening.
Exactly.
Yes, that's similar, except that I'm really on a mission of self-improvement, and that I am practicing, and that I hope to succeed, but I will fail on this learner's permit.
There must be one of those Hollywood insider hypnotists that get people to face their fears or quit smoking or something like that. There has to be a freeway whisperer out there that somebody, you know, you pay them $400, they come to the house.
You are next not thing you know, you're on the 405. The freeway. You are not afraid of the freeway. Turning left in Atlanta is a good idea.
Turning left in Atlanta.
Your problem is merging. Is that where the fear comes in? Or is it just the speed of the highway?
It's merging. It's merging.
It's nobody's favorite. It's no one's favorite.
No, it's the speed is fine. I mean, if you're in the right car, you can go pretty fast and you don't even feel it. But
fine. We're gonna start calling you late model Maya with that attitude. God damn. Okay.
Yeah.
That the brand new Civic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But the speed is fine. Late model Maya. It's the merging, and it's also like, okay, so like I was on 212 and I was driving, and these people, they just jump out of their driveways with almost no warning or jump across the highway into their driveways. They think that they know how far away I am and that I'm not going to hit them. And I guess they're right, but it scares my pants off.
I guess they're right.
Yeah, I think you have to be.
They are right.
You have to be worried. You have to be worried about the older people because their hand-eye coordination is a little bit slower than yours and ours. So when they see a car coming, they're like, it takes a while to look both ways.
I wasn't told that there was going to be ageism on this podcast.
Well,
I wasn't told that ageism, like that's like, ageism is a hard no for me. I'm so sorry.
If we told you about that, then you wouldn't have come on. I know how famously you feel about hating on old people driving.
Well known fact about you.
It is. I mean, and I hate to ageist on the Lord's Day, but you know, it's a hard pill to swallow. But anytime I've ever been close to being in a car accident, it's with an old person who like their depth perception and like the amount of like when they in their eyes see a car coming and the amount of time it takes to go into their body and all the way down to their foot to hit the brake. Mm-hmm. It just simply takes more time than for you and I.
This closest I've been to being in a car accident was riding on the back of some guy's motorcycle who thought it would be really fun to drive on the wrong side of the road.
Okay, hot. Okay,
up
hot.
Towards a bus.
Okay, hot.
I was like, I don't know, 18 or something, and like driving on the wrong side of the road at a bus that was coming at us. And he was like, "Ha ha, aren't you having fun?"
What country was this in?
Was this a romantic?
Was this in the Amalfi Coast?
Was he trying to show off?
He was trying to show off how fearless he was. Mm-hmm. I've been having a conversation about this recently about people. About like men's desire to show how fearless they are by creating, like they create the scary situation that they have to rescue you from. Mm. Like there's no longer has the old fashioned man thing of like, I'm going to protect you from the neighboring, you know, town who's coming to steal our coins. It's like, just like, I'm going to create a situation that's scary for you. And then I will fix the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to take you on a roll. I'm going to take you on a roller coaster and the seatbelt's going to be broken, but I'm going to fix it.
That's not real danger.
But I'm going to hold you down and I'm going to fix it while we're upside down. Yeah.
It's not real danger. I mean, I would say driving a motorcycle at a bus, even though this guy is in theory in control, he's not necessarily actually in control.
But did this work? Did this work on you?
For almost a year.
Well, you know, we can all remember when we were 18, our brains were developed in a lesser way, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's no problem. Sure. Speaking of brains being developed in a lesser way, what did you do for 420 yesterday, Maya?
Okay, for 420 yesterday, I found these drinkies in Atlanta that are like weed soda drinkies. And I don't know, because I have been a little spoiled by like California going to buy weed at the store vibes, and mm-hmm. they don't have that here yet. You can go and buy these little weed sodas. And they're just the best. They're like, I don't know, a little CBD, a little THC in these little sodas. And so I drank some sodas and I listened to a lot of TTPD, Torture Poets Department.
Wow. I'm going to have to be high to listen to that too. I checked it out this morning.
Yeah.
I checked it out this morning. Jason, have you listened to it?
I listened to one song because I noticed that you posted a song you were listening to a song called I Can Do It With a Broken Heart. And does that song hit different off of a drinky?
It hits amazing off a little drinky. And so does But Daddy I Love Him, which is my new favorite song on the right. That's Oof.
No, that's the best song. That's the best song.
Yeah, But Daddy I Love Him
is good.
So good.
Shit is good.
Yeah, that title alone, it's just like it was created by Lana Del Rey, you know, Priscilla Presley AI. It's just, I don't even need to listen to the song. I already know how it goes, you know?
No, you don't.
Oh, really? is it, what type of girl is that song an anthem for?
Great question.
That's a really interesting question, like about so many songs. I don't know. I feel like
I'm in branding and marketing. That's why.
I feel like what Taylor has done so amazingly is that like she doesn't have to write about any category of person. She's a category of person in and of herself, you know? Like it feels like it's an anthem for Taylor Swift. Mm. And it feels really honest and kind of angry, but in a deeply true and ordinary way. Not in any kind of like, oh, let me show you how angry I am. Just like what the anger really is.
Yeah. When you bring home, you know, a Maddie Healy and your dad is like, what the hell? You know, that inspires a lot of, mm-hmm. it inspires a lot of stuff.
How many parents have had to hear, But Daddy, I Love Him involving Maddie Healy over the years? You know
several,
what I mean?
Several. Yeah, several for sure. Several.
You know, it's funny. I never had to do that with my dad.
What do you mean?
He was never a let me scare your boyfriend or partner person.
He wasn't standing at the door with a shotgun.
Not at all. He was like, come in, man. Like, I'd love to give it to talk to you about something, like, you know, almost like it's the holiday yesterday. And it's like, come in.
And the guy's like, oh, this is weird. This is weird. What are you after? Was it? It was like, what's your game?
Would he
here,
try
pops?
To? But if you broke up with someone, would he still kick it with them, or did, or
no,
he knows to
no,
cut it
he
off?
He wasn't Phil okay, Dunphy okay. on Modern Family.
He, classic Dunphy,
not Modern Family.
No, he was done when I was done. But he's just he was never the like he was always like Maya. If you think someone's good, then I bet they're good. You're a smart girl. I love you.
I mean, look, that's a great attitude to have.
That is good. That is good parenting.
That is a great attitude
yeah.
to have.
To a point.
Yeah, there was a
to an extent.
I do have excellent taste. Motorcycles aside,
we all grow up. There was like this guy, this Republican guy running for office in Atlanta a few years ago. And one of his campaign ads was him threatening like a guy that was coming to take his daughter to prom. Like that was the commercial. Like he was standing there with a gun. And my parents were like, this is the wildest shit I've ever seen. Like, this is crazy. He didn't
probably
win.
Worked.
He didn't win, but it was like a really, it was really, I didn't know that we'd gotten that far with that sort of boyfriend intimidation.
Yeah, I didn't either. I didn't know that at all. I just did. Yeah.
It's political.
It's intense.
It's political.
It's intense.
Boyfriends are the last group of people that American dads can
make fun
hold
of.
Power over right now.
Yeah. Flick the back of their ear.
Boyfriends and apparently old people.
Boyfriends are all we've got.
Yeah, true.
I hate to bring it up. Okay, so you drank some drinkies.
I listened to Torture Poets Department. I went on a beautiful walk.
Okay, you went for a walk. Okay,
to the gas station. I went to a beautiful walk to the gas station through a cemetery. And we've recently gotten this, you know, the little like point and shoot video cameras, like a VOD camera.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten one of those and I've been making fun little home videos. The day before yesterday we went to the aquarium and that was really fun, but which would be a better 420 activity maybe, but
perhaps
it's too busy. I've only been once and it was on the weekend. It was just too busy. There's too many people in there.
You gotta go on a Tuesday, Chris, come on.
I don't yeah
you
no,
gotta
I
go
know.
You gotta go during work hours.
But you go, that cemetery, I've done some fucked up stuff in that cemetery.
What? Do you know how that sentence sounds, Chris?
You having sex with dead people?
I didn't want to say it, Maya.
I just meant like some. I've done some coke. You know, I've hung out there late night. That's all. I've never had sex with a dead body. I want to be very clear.
You ever jack off on a tombstone? What's going on, brother?
I will say it's always an interesting thing about Atlanta that like you. There's just so much history, and you'll be like, oh, well, look at this charming cemetery, and you're like, oh, where. All the soldiers of the Confederate Army were
buried. Okay, Maya. It's not great. Everything can't be perfect. The South has demons too. Okay.
Oh yeah.
We can't all be New York.
I'm not being judgy. I'm not judging. Mm-hmm. We can't all be people without driver's license who are being trying to learn to be their own Uber driver from New York.
Exactly.
We got to bury those kings somewhere, Maya. You know what I'm saying? So, Chris, what kind of you would go? So was this like in your peak Morrissey phase? Like, let's go hang out at the cemetery and do coke?
No, we wouldn't hang out there. It just happened a few times. Like, because things would happen there, like this wedding or something. You know what I mean? So it's like, you're there, you know, people.
No judgment. I'm a dark cat. I get it.
Are people getting married at cemeteries these days? Is that like a vibe?
That's what I wanted to ask, Maya.
Will you guys give me a break? It was fucking 18 years ago, and obviously they're divorced. Like, it's fine.
That seems like a crazy wedding venue.
As if 18 years ago it was normal to get married at a cemetery? I think it's always been a bit dark to get married at a cemetery.
Yeah. Maya can attest, that's a pretty famous cemetery. It's like a tourist attraction. It's not like a neighborhood cemetery.
It's a famous Confederate cemetery. Yeah.
So is the World Trade Center, but who's getting married there? Chris, it's a little dark.
Jason, I bet people will get married anywhere. I guarantee you somebody's gotten married at One World Trade for sure.
Members of Hamas?
I mean, anything's possible. I'm saying people are fucking crazy. I mean, look, she went to the
I agree.
You went to the cemetery high on marijuana drink. Like, that's weird too. Why am I the weird one? Like, you did the same
thing. She walked through it during the daytime.
It's totally a weird thing to do. I just live really close to it. And it's on the way to my preferred gas station.
Okay, when you hit the gas station, what are we loading up on? Anything but gas, right?
Yeah, we know you're not getting gas.
We got some waters. We got some sour candies. You know, I really like those sour candies. Mm-hmm. That's my big guilty pleasure. Like some sour Sketty, some Sour Patch Kids.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I recently found that if you get like freeze dried strawberries and raspberries, they can. My mouth is watering.
Control yourself, Maya.
Yeah, Jesus, calm down.
The thought of a freeze dried raspberry from Trader Joe's is sending me. I need to sit down.
Can you guys just give me 1 second? Just 1 second.
Hold on. They can have the same effect as a sour candy without ripping up your mouth the way that sour candies do. Mm-hmm. But they don't sell those at the gas station.
Sour candy's not my go-to, but it does hurt your mouth like pretty quickly. Like it doesn't take many.
Pretty quickly.
Tear that shit up.
And the problem is that you, when you're stoned, you like the feeling, but then you wake up not stoned and you're a hypochondriac and you're worried you have cancer of the mouth.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean,
because it still hurts.
We don't know what chemicals are in those sour patches. That's for sure. That shit is not natural ingredients, you know.
So no. Maya, you're saying that you got high and realized that fruit is kind of like nature's candy.
I did. That is what I had it out of me. And I also got curious as to whether or not you see the same blue that I see, or if my blue is your green and your red is my purple.
Mm-hmm. Actually, speaking of your dad and Taylor Swift, he's in a Taylor Swift video, right?
Oh, yeah.
What's up with that?
The best way to learn a language? Immersion, living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way, and that's with Babbel. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Chris and I are going to the country of Georgia in a month or so, and they have a very unique language, and I will be using Babbel to try and just get a little bit of action so I can know how to order my cold brew lattes and things like that in a way that's actually science-based. Don't spend hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Use Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons. They're handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new lingo in as little as 3 weeks.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/howlong. Get 55% off at babbel.com/howlong, spelled babbel.com/howlong. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Babbel.
It's awesome. I don't know. It's just awesome. It's great for everyone involved, I think. I think it was just the Tortured Poets Department Dead Poets Society crossover. Josh Charles mm-hmm. is also
oh,
in it.
Oh, of course.
And
of course,
he was
course.
Also in
yes,
Dead Poets
yes.
Society. So I think it's the
Love Josh Charles. He's been on some great shows.
I've actually been watching In Treatment recently.
Is it good?
The first season with Gabriel Byrne. It's amazing. It's and he's on that doing couples therapy. And so I've been watching him a bunch, and he's just great. I mean, you can't really watch TV and not find Josh Charles. Like, there's almost like
no, exactly.
TV show you can watch that Josh Charles hasn't. Like, I was all watching In Treatment, and then I watched SVU, and he was in SVU too, and I was like, wow, this guy.
His credits.
No, there's like a handful of people like that where it's just like, wow, you've just done it all. And some stuff goes for like, I was on this for 8 seasons. It's not like,
no,
it's some of it's really successful, you know.
Yeah.
It's not just like you keep jumping, it's you're just busy.
Well, if you watch enough like procedural television, like SVU, Grey's Anatomy, like all these shows, you see so much overlapping of actors. Like, you just, and if you like, then you watch more TV from that same time period, and you just see like, wow, like the group of people was not that big. It was like they were all sharing.
Yeah, shows.
Procedural television is notoriously incestual.
Yes.
Is what you're saying.
Yes.
Well, it also feels like a rite of passage. Like, I feel like if you're an actor and you haven't done Law & Order, you're fucked up. You know, you didn't get the call. Like, even I could probably get a dead body part on Law & Order, you know, and kind of kick my career off. It's not that hard.
I really am waiting for my Law & Order moment. I mean, unless my agents are lying to me, I have written on a yearly basis, wanting to have a cameo in Grey's Anatomy, and still have not gotten one. So I'll be a foot. I don't care. I will be a dismembered arm in like a green suit, just the arm. But I don't care. But I still, even yearly requests.
Are you that? Okay, so you're a Grey's Anatomy. But hasn't Grey's Anatomy been on for like 18 seasons?
I think it's closer to 20, but yeah.
But is it even the same? Like, who's left? Or is it a whole new regime?
It's a gray area.
Honestly, some of the best characters. Like, the Chief is left. Bailey is still there. And Meredith comes in and out.
Chief and the Bailey. Say less, Queen.
But the but the hot guys are gone.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really hard to keep men on women-focused shows. They really...
What do you mean? Because they're just not the ego?
I mean, notoriously, if you have like a script and the main part is a girl, good luck finding a successful, like a big actor to play the supporting part. Like, it's getting better.
Are you saying the patriarchy plays a part in our dramatic arts?
I'm saying the patriarchy has had its hands even in our dramatic arts.
Okay.
Are you saying that male actors have mental issues?
Well, no, actually, that's not what I was saying, but I have to fully talk about that. I will tell you one really funny thing. About that, which is I had this fantastic guy who does my hair sometimes. His name's John Nolet. He's fantastic. And he said to me once, I was talking about some boy I had a crush on and that he was giving me a hard time. And he goes, you know, Maya, an actress is a little bit more than a woman. And an actor is just a little bit less than a man.
That's good advice. That's good advice.
That's
honestly,
sage advice. That's imagine good. Me hearing that off an edible. I'd be like, oh, fuck.
Shit.
That's going in my Substack. That's, I mean, but honestly, I've never heard that before, and I quite like that.
I know, and then I had to tell him that actually a little bit less than a man is how I like them.
Yeah, sure. You're like, that's actually my type, so that's good. I guess this is the right field for me.
Yeah. Like, have you ever, like, rescued a dog that had, like, an injury or something like that? Same kind of vibe?
No, I like to keep my schedule open. I mean, I don't want a debilitating crisis. I've never rescued a dog with an injury. I mean, I've attempted to rescue a dog that had like some behavioral problems once, but I didn't succeed. I fostered, but I did not foster to adopt, which is one of my great shames, actually, now that you've brought it up.
You didn't foster to, you weren't able to foster to completion. And that's something that happens to a lot of people. It's stressful.
It happens to a lot of a little less thans.
I'm sorry for bringing that up.
It's okay. But I'm
let's flip the script.
Okay.
How many drinkings did you have for the eclipse last week?
Oh, I thought you were gonna ask yesterday. For the eclipse, no drinkies. I got to catch the eclipse just briefly in New York before boarding my plane back to Atlanta. And it was awesome. I mean, I couldn't find any glasses, so it kind of just looked like a weird, and in New York it was partial, not full.
Yeah.
So like looking up with the naked eye, which you know, like kind of squinting at it, because eyelashes work the same as glasses, uh-huh. You know, just squinting.
Of course.
It just kind of looked like a normal sun almost, but like a little weird. But then I borrowed someone's glasses, a stranger on the street, and I saw it, and it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. And also a week after the earthquake, or a couple days after the earthquake, I definitely felt like I flew back to New York, and that day there was an earthquake. And then on the day that I left, there was an eclipse. And the whole time it was had like weird vibes. Like the whole city had weird vibes. Like my life was having weird vibes. And I just felt like it had been a portal, like the earthquake to eclipse pipeline portal.
There's a cosmic pull. I was in New York during that same time. And I also felt the same thing.
We should have hung out.
We should have. I mean, well, when the eclipse came, I felt like this urge or need to go lay down and take a nap.
I like, especially in New York, I like when all the people have an activity to do together. Like when you drive down street corners.
That part, that was the best. That was the best part. Mm-hmm. That was the best part. Because the eclipse didn't do much for me, but like the camaraderie is nice.
The camaraderie is cute. People sharing glasses on the street corner and being like, can you see it? What you see? And like, and the kind of communities forming on different street corners, trying to get a look. That's my favorite thing about living in New York, is when something nice happens and everyone gets to enjoy it together. Like,
yeah. And also during that week, Olivia Rodrigo at MSG Four Nights, that had a lot of communal energy to it as well.
Hugely communal.
Oh, yeah, totally. I wish I'd gotten to go. I did not, but I'm going to try to go in Atlanta this summer.
As you should.
It's a must see.
Is she an inspiration to you as a live performer?
I would be shy to even say that because I don't think I could ever do what she's doing. Like, just the, even from the videos I've seen, like the kind of the feeling that you're at like a party and the space she's taking up and the confidence in the room and the kind of like, she just seems so in charge of her show in such a large way. And I feel like my vibe as a live performer is like, I'm trying to work with some like wanting to calm people down more than anything. Like,
I want to create. Come like check me out live. Tickets are on sale. It'll be really calm. I promise it'll be calm.
We have our Fiona Apples and our Taylor Swifts on either end of the spectrum, and both are great in their own special way.
Yeah, and like trying to cast a spell a little bit and like welcome in some magic more than like being like, welcome to my party. I am here.
What's up, you fucking sluts?
Yeah, exactly. That's not my vibe.
I think it's something you should explore.
Okay, so Maya Hawk residency in Vegas, not happening soon.
Maybe I will explore it. I think I just would have to find the right, like, it would be weird to do it with my music. Like the music that
Yes, it would. Yes,
like,
it would.
Be like, what's up, you fucking sluts? It's darkness.
How are you at dancing? Could you hit your marks?
My boyfriend thinks I'm a good dancer.
Yeah, he's lying to you, but do you think you're a good dancer?
Is he a choreo instructor?
No. Yeah, no, it's true. I'm not a very good dancer. I occasionally on a couple drinkies can feel confident about my dancing, and I've got like a couple good moves, but they pretty much are in rotation with each other. Like, it's like there's just the three moves and I order them in different order. Sometimes I do like 1, 1, 2, 3, 3, 1, 2, you know, like, but there's just those three moves.
Okay, so you're not losing your
such an honor to get a glimpse into your process, Maya. Yeah, how you switch it up like that.
You know, honestly, you should feel privileged.
So you don't lose yourself in the music then, no matter what you're under the influence of?
No, I lose myself in the music. I just, my body physically only has three options.
Okay, you're limited. You're physically limited.
Physically handicapped.
You're physically handicapped when it comes to hitting the
dance
floor.
So you go to Baskin Robbins. We got strawberry, vanilla, and chocolate. What do you want? That's it. We're all out of everything.
Exactly. We're all out of everything, but we can offer you some things. And if you're delighted by my personality, you might find them charming.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. If somebody likes you and finds you charming, then all the stuff you do is cute and cool. And that's the whole point of being in a relationship.
Well, I think it's like one of the whole points of being alive is just to find people who find you charming and then hang out with them.
Why do you think we do this podcast, Maya? This is all we have.
Yeah.
This is all we have.
We just try to charm strangers. Who have albums coming out?
Well, honestly, mission accomplished today for me. Okay.
When you're shooting the show, or is it like Monday through Friday, like 6 to 6 vibes, and you have Sundays off, or it's like whenever?
Well, if you've seen the show, it's like a big ensemble cast. So there's a lot of the show is called Stranger Things, and it's a big ensemble cast. And if you have seen it, there's a lot of people coming in and out. And so there are periods of time where you're working every day all week. Like, I'm in a pretty big zone of work right now. But you have the weekends off. And then there are zones of time where you work like 2 days a week. And then you're just kind of hanging out in Atlanta, you know, kicking around, doing some coke in the cemetery the rest of the time. and then there's also sometimes where you don't work for 2 months and you can go to New York or whatever. It's like a year of shooting altogether, and you probably work a third of the year.
What a gig.
In different chunks.
When you told me it was a year, I was like blown away. I don't know why I didn't put that together. I guess I just never thought about it. That just seems really extreme.
It is. Well, it's definitely like not what I thought it was going to be. I thought it would be like half a year, but as the seasons have progressed, the episodes get longer and longer. The kind of world that they're taking on is bigger and bigger. And so really how I think about it now is that like each one is like a little Star Wars movie, right? Like, cause most of the episodes are around like 100 to 110 pages, which is the length of an average movie. And so if you think about it, like you're shooting 8 movies, then a year doesn't sound very long.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever you got to tell yourself. Yeah. Whatever you got to tell yourself.
Eight movies in a year sounds quite insane.
Yeah.
Most legendary directors don't have 8 movies in them Total.
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing backflips to make this feel good for yourself. I like it.
Seems like a great gig. And also, I feel like, you know, you're on your own Grey's Anatomy right now, you know?
Exactly. But I will say that, like, it's definitely not Grey's Anatomy because it's going to have an end and it's going to end the season. And that adds a whole other kind of magic to this year, which is that it's like the last year. I think it makes it feel much more precious. And like, I don't know, I'm feeling very excited.
Yeah. Are other people on the show now that it's winding down and it's the last season? Are they like, so what's up with that whole music thing? Maybe I should have started.
Joe Keery's blowing up.
Smash. The song's good too. I actually quite like it.
It's awesome.
It's good.
He's put out a bunch of stuff and it's all so good. And Finn makes music and that's so good. I mean, I think that the nature of the show, because it takes so long to film, but you're really usually only in a third of it, I think there's a reason that so many people make music on the show, which is that you have to kind of be here, but you can't really work on anything else. And so people have, or at least this is what my experience has been, and I imagine that it's similar. It's like, well, you have to have something to occupy your brain. You know, like artists are usually pretty hyperactive people. You know, you don't just want to hang around. So I think this show has produced a lot of musicians in that it's allowed people to have some time where their brains can like be like, oh, I want to make something. I want to do something.
Hopefully not paintings, just the music, right?
You're hoping that there's no visual artists?
Yeah.
Well, why are you hoping that?
It's not going to be good, right?
You look so you look so disturbed. She like threw her oil paints away. Like, fuck you.
Are you a visual artist as well, Maya? Are you a visual artist as well?
Yeah. I mean, not like for money or even for any kind of like, really, it's like a nice thing to give people as gifts. Like and it's a good way to get your brain to not turn in on itself and implode. But I just like to make things whenever possible. Like I like to knit. I like to make watercolors. I like to write songs. I like to make stuff. I like to make food.
What about in the kitchen? What edible gifts are we giving to our friends?
Are you sick with it in the kitchen, Maya?
I'm pretty sick with it, actually. I'm pretty good. I'm nowhere near what my mom's a much better cook than me. And
did she teach you or did you pick it up as an adult?
I've had some lessons in certain things, but I would say more than anything, I kind of learned, like she didn't really want to teach me for a while. And then in the pandemic, she was like, oh my God, someone else has to start cooking. And then she started to teach me in the pandemic. And then since then, I've kind of been learning from recipes. And I do a lot of like repeating the same recipes. Like I've got like 10 recipes that I can nail and I make them often.
Okay. So I'm seeing a pattern here. It's similar to your dancing. You got things you can do and you just stick to the script.
You know, I think that that's when you're a person that's not that good at that much stuff. If you like learn to do the stuff that you can do and then you just do that, you just keep doing that. Like, I think that's like my dad's joke about me is that I wasn't good at anything except like acting, which is why he encouraged me to do it. And I think that that's been kind of, I've taken it with me in life. Like find something you're good at and do it over and over and over again and shove it in people's faces.
Shoving it in people's faces is what people need to work on the most, I would say, is really, you know, being the squeaky wheel to get the grease. But I would say that having 10 recipes in your rotation is a high, large amount of them, and I think you should be proud of that.
Thank you. And I'm not counting like toast.
Of course. No.
It's real shit.
Give me the gold, silver, and bronze medal dishes when you're cooking.
I love to make a linguine vongole.
Bravo.
Clam pasta. I love to make like lamb. And I love to make lamb and
lamb.
Put, like
Maya said, lamb and clam. Lamb and clam is my sweet spot.
Lamb and clam with like Greek potatoes and Greek salad and like a tzatziki sauce. I like that.
Oh.
I like to make a nice quick salmon, like a baked in tinfoil like salmon, or really even prefer a steelhead trout.
Okay, calm down, steelhead. All right.
Yeah.
The thinking man salmon.
I really like. I make these almond cookies with raspberry.
Almond cookies with raspberry.
Like a little Italian tea cookie.
Okay, that sounds...
Yeah,
that sounds good.
I make a sweet potato curry that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Okay. Those have been my top ones lately.
So, it seems like your cooking style It's sort of like a fusion between hot girl cooking and the Mediterranean style of eating.
I would say, yeah.
Like, exactly. Sure. That's kind of what I've been
which is the original hot girl cooking style is
Mediterranean.
Just, yeah. You know, just fish, olive oil, just a little potato and lemon and a glass of white wine.
I think that's the true hot girl cooking.
It is.
Because it's like important. I think as a hot girl cook, you have to show that you're not trying that hard to be a hot girl in your cooking. Like if you're like, yes, this is my seaweed spaghetti with my like hazelnut, like crema. And I like, then you're like, you're working a little hard, but if you're just like, here's a beautiful fish with some lemon and olive oil and like maybe a spoonful of rice and some like, you know, sea salt, you're hot girl cooking, but like more on the down low.
We like that.
Yeah. Yeah. The hot girl part of it is I can afford the best salt and fish and olive oil, and it has nothing to do with manipulating sea moss.
So you're attracted to rich women?
Who isn't, sweetie? What the hell are you talking about? What the fuck do you think? What do you think? Have you met
like cool guys are attracted to wealthy women. Toxic guys want the poor ones.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was going to say, have you met men? I feel like mostly men are like not into powerful women as a rule.
Yeah, Chris.
Like they want their lady to make
a little
bit less than them.
Just a little bit less.
I
mean,
look, I like to be the earner, but I'm happy that my wife has a job, you know, and she's bringing home real bread. It's nice.
Yeah.
Even though she's gluten-free.
I don't mind being, I'll be the beta in that situation.
But how would you feel if you were dating like Olivia Rodrigo? Like, how would you feel if you were just like dating someone that's just completely outswung you?
I'd be crying every night.
But that's different because of that's the difference because of the fame. So it adds an extra layer of like,
okay,
you're just this loser following her around the country.
Okay,
basically,
what if she's like a top spine surgeon who makes the big bucks operating on
like she has an ad in the newspaper or in the magazine on the airplane, that level of top spine surgeon.
That's fine. Yeah, she's New York Magazine's top doctor.
I was trying to annihilate fame out of it. I was trying to take the fame part. I was trying to just go money and skill, no fame.
The Annihilate Fame Tour. I like that.
Yeah, that sounds like an Olivia Rodrigo song. I think that the
well, let's just ask Zach Bia.
We could ask some. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that. I think the fame is what changes it. Money, you just have to be comfortable with yourself and understand that like some people are just more successful than others. That's just what it is.
It's an exercise in confidence.
Right. Okay.
A boss chick is cool. That's cool. Like if you don't like that, then you're scared of something.
Unless she's famous, in which case we wish you all the best.
This is why famous people don't date civilians.
Olivia Rodrigo's DMs are different than the spinal surgeon's DMs.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
The competition.
But I will tell you this. The spinal surgeon might be looking at her DMs.
Yeah, Olivia Rodrigo's not
a good point.
That's true. I just think that the fame, it just changes things where money, it changes more things than money.
No,
I think. That's what I mean.
It does. It's a classic. I can't remember if it's Bill Murray or Jack Nicholson, but one of them has a great quote saying, if you want to be rich and famous, first try getting rich and see if that's enough.
Great advice. Great advice. Yeah, but I just, you don't want to be the like unnamed guy in every photo with Olivia Rodrigo. That does something to the ego, no matter who you are. Like just some guy, you know, and you're at the restaurant and you're never identified by name. That gets, you know, that'll hit you.
I like the air of mystery that creates.
I think it's a cool vibe.
I agree.
I was going to say, I think that's a cool vibe.
Yeah. It's like, who is that person who's not showboating?
What's he doing for her?
I'm not saying it's not cool.
What's he doing
I'm just saying, I think it fucks you up. I think it's cool too, but I think if you're that person, you have to be really mentally tough.
If you're a weak minded man. Yeah.
I think you're right.
Small dick energy.
Yeah. If you're a little weasel.
If you're a little weasel, you can't leave Bar Pitti with Olivia Rodrigo and get your picture taken, you little weasel.
Little weasel.
That's little weasel energy. The album that comes out in a little over a month from now, it's called Chaos Angel. What is a Chaos Angel to you?
Okay, well, a Chaos Angel is like if your guardian angel has a personality disorder. I came up with that title while I was working on this movie that's also coming out soon called Wildcat. Just going to do some cross marketing here. But there's this Flannery O'Connor quote where she talks about fighting with her guardian angel. She like used to like sit in her college dorm and like punch at her guardian angel. And that really stuck with me because I thought about how often we all resist our best instincts. Like when you're at the party and things are going a little wrong and you're like, maybe I should go home. And you're like, nah. Like that kind of war between your best instincts and your bad ones or whatever, that your guardian angel is actually your instincts. Mm-hmm. And when you're in conflict with your instincts, there's chaos brews in your life. And so that's kind of what it's about, if that makes sense. Like,
mm-hmm. It does. It does. Healthy chaos.
You want healthy chaos. My kind of thesis is that healthy chaos makes space for change, and change makes space for growth, which makes space for love. And then like love enters your life. And so like the chaos angel is kind of the angel of love, because the two cannot exist without each other. But there's also unhealthy chaos, which is when the chaos angel doesn't know what she is. And she thinks that she's supposed to be a perfect angel of love.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason's dealt with some chaos angels in his life. He knows.
I believe it. I can tell by how charming I find him that he must have gone out with some maniacs.
Those angels have put me through the ringer.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's kind of the idea. Is it's like the story is of the angel that has to realize what she is so that she can control her power,
mm-hmm.
And not use it. And it doesn't kind of control her. That's the vibe.
Okay.
Do I guarantee you that each song on this album like takes you through a very clear and narrative story based on that myth that I created? No, it doesn't at all. I kind of like came up with it and wrote the last song on the record and then retroactively was like, oh, each of these songs is kind of about like a chaotic relationship, chaotic time in my life, and a place where I like didn't listen to my instincts and made a mistake. So that they kind of loop into this narrative in that way, but it's a stretch.
Well, I mean, I think even just being conscious of trying to find an album title that encapsulates the energy of all the songs together is a thing that most people do not even consider, let alone succeed in. You know, like most album titles are just like whatever word that they thought of. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that my first two album titles were that way, but I've learned this new way that I think I really like of making records. It's not that different, but my first two records, I like wrote the songs, I picked the best ones, I recorded them, then I tried to come up with a visual landscape for the thing and like take pictures, and it was all a little like chaotic. But now what I feel like I figured out is that actually when I'm writing the songs, I want to come up with the title and make that decision in the moment, and make the decision for what the album cover will look like and what I want the photo shoot to look like, and kind of do all of it while the spirit is really active within you,
mm-hmm.
rather than trying to go back and name your record as a person who like doesn't even like your record anymore and doesn't even understand, you know. And I think that like, because I can always trust past Maya, like, because if I'm like, if even if I wouldn't call my record Chaos Angel now, past Maya was really confident about it. And past Maya was who wrote all those songs, like not present Maya. Mm. So past Maya gets to decide what the album is called, and I'll just focus on naming the next one. And I hope that future Maya trusts present Maya as much as I trust past Maya.
Mm. Damn, there's hella Mayas in the room with us right now.
I like this.
This is fucked up. Five Mayas. You got five Mayas on the table.
Five Mayas. Top five Mayas. Yeah,
I give it five.
That reminds me, like, you know, the way I think about, you know, creating things like that with writing or doing this podcast or whatever else I'm doing. When you feel the idea coming, like the well is open, the faucet is coming, that is like the most difficult part, and you want to try and collect as much of that stuff that comes out as possible. And then, you know, tomorrow, next week, next month is when you can go back with, you know, older Maya can go back and be like, that was sick. That was good. We can cut this.
Exactly. That's a lot like my writing process. Is I try to, like, when the flow comes, I try to go as long as I can and get as much out of it as possible and without being particularly judgmental,
mm-hmm.
and then come back later with judgmental eyes and cut it up and kind of recollage it.
Yeah. Just make sure that your penmanship is legible enough. You know what I mean? That's my advice to you.
It's embarrassing. I wish I still wrote really with pen and ink, but for the most part these days I'm an iPhone notes girl.
I would have taken you for a moleskin chick for sure. That is disappointing.
I was for years and years, and I still carry them around, but I definitely like, I've gotten spoiled by the editing that you can do on a, like the cut, copy, paste, cool. move, paste. Like it's freed me up from doing so much erasing and rewriting. And like,
are you doing voice notes to yourself?
I'm doing voice notes. Shit? I'm doing notes. I'm doing those things. I do want to go on a tech cleanse. I'm trying to plan one for this summer. I do think I need to put my phone in a box and leave it there for a week at some point soon. I'm in like a deeper tech addiction.
Are you that logged on?
More than I've ever been. Yeah, I need, like, I'm more logged on than ever, and I need to log off.
Are you considering getting one of those light phones, or a dumb phone, as they say?
I have one sitting on my kitchen table. I have a light phone.
But have you used it, or is it in the box?
I haven't put the SIM card in yet. It's like my learner's permit, but I have it. And I'm about to start using it. It's like, this is what I'm talking about. I'm in a slight attic place.
This is exciting for you. This is, I mean, I've thought about it as well, but it seems a little difficult to really make that change. But maybe, you know, in small doses, like you go on a trip or something.
I think it's not about making the whole change. It's not about making the whole change where you're like, you don't have an iPhone anymore. I think it's about like limiting the amount of time. It's about trying to become like a social smoker, right? Like it's like, and how to like, how do you take your mints with you out to dinner with your friend so that you're not going out every time, every 15 minutes for a cigarette? Like it's, I think it's about just trying to experience some moderation, which I generally think is the key to life. Is such a hard thing to do with anything good is moderation. You know, we learned that with the sour candies earlier, but,
Okay, so much like smoking, it's like saying I smoke, but I don't buy my own cigarettes. But if somebody has one, I'll bum one. And you're like, I don't have Instagram on my phone, but if somebody else has their phone, I will grab it and scroll their explore page for a while.
I'm trying to move towards that. I currently have Instagram on my phone, and I that's my goal.
Great goal.
But yeah, it's like how can I live a life where I can eat three Sour Patch Kids? Can I somehow not find myself having eaten the whole box, ripped open the plastic, and licking the sugar off the
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something, Maya. You probably can't, and it's hard. And I get it. I'm the same way. If there's a box of cookies, I'm going to eat all the cookies. I'm not going to eat one cookie.
Especially if I've had a couple drinkies.
You have to, yeah, of course. I mean, that's
well, I think Maya can do it because she wants. I think Maya can do it because she wants to do it. I don't think you want to do it, Chris.
Well, I think that there's also, I will never tech cleanse. I don't give a fuck. But I think that I think that in your line of work, it's necessary, kind of. Whereas in my line of work, I would just not have work anymore if I wasn't on my phone responding to the emails.
Yeah.
I would have to live on the street, you know, it's different. Whereas I think like you need the time away to like do the stuff, and there's people that will answer the emails. You know, that's
if Chris didn't have Instagram, he'd be working at Petco right now.
Chris, I think it's time for you to get someone to start answering your emails.
Hey, look. I agree, but they ain't calling yet. I don't know what the problem is. We got all these people that work for us. They don't do shit. They don't answer any of our fucking emails.
We'll get there.
That's very funny.
They send us emails. Actually, now that I think about it, they make more
the audacity
work.
To email us.
The audacity
to email us.
I
with opportunities.
Feel that way sometimes when people are like, "Hey, did you see that email?" I'm like, "What audacity?"
Just circling back, what audacity? How on earth?
If you want me to read an email, you have to call me, tell me to read the email out loud to me, and then maybe text me that you emailed me, and then also forward that email back at the top of my mailbox.
It is interesting because you, if somebody says, "Hey, did you read my email?" Your instinct is to think the audacity, but then if somebody sent you that email written on a piece of paper and put it in your mailbox, you would probably be delighted by it, wouldn't you?
Delighted. But I definitely have like a yearning for the past that I'm trying to cure. Like I love to get physical paper mail, and occasionally I like to send it.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find that delightful, except though sometimes mail gets eerily like email. Like it'll be a bill or some kind of like statement of boring information.
Yeah. I don't want to burst your bubble, but physical mail was the original email. I'm just I don't want to fuck you up too bad. Yeah. But
J Crew has been sending those unwanted spam mails through the post for years.
Yeah, I believe it.
As a young person, obviously you knew that mail happened before computers, but I think you do have an interesting point about it kind of coming around full circle like that.
I think it is. I mean, I think it's like what happened with vinyl, right? It's like some 100%. Things, they come back, like the postal service. I also, like, when I was a kid, I'm just in this weird, I feel like I'm in a generation, like, portal, because I don't feel totally like a millennial, and I definitely don't feel totally like a Gen Zer, because I remember getting mail and like sending mail between my friends, and I didn't have a computer until like eighth grade, and I would send letters, and I would receive letters, and like my parents would go away to work on a location, and I would get lots of postcards. Like, that was a huge part of my life growing up. But then I've also had a computer since the eighth grade, and like a phone a lot of my life. And so even just like a little flippy guy, probably since the fifth grade. So
you're a tweener is what they call it in the town.
I'm a tweener.
Mm-hmm. We talk about that a lot because
it's a tough hill.
We grew up with, we like remember when the internet started. You know what I mean? Like, there was one day I didn't have the internet, and then the next day I had the internet, and life changed pretty quickly. And it's tough to imagine a world without it.
I was able to use it to look at photos of Kaya Gerber's mom.
Yeah, exactly. That's how you have to look at it.
That's pretty cool.
It was cool. Yeah. It took a day and a half for the photos to load, but it happened.
But it was I had nothing else going on, so it was fine.
All right, Maya. Well, thank you for taking the time to chat with us. The album Chaos Angel comes out May 31st.
Yeah.
Couple singles out on streamers right now.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks for talking to me. Thank this you. Went by so fast. I was like, I would talk to you guys for like two more hours. You're such a delight.
Hey, thank you.
You got to come to Atlanta and we'll go to Kimball House.
Yeah, we have a show in June. And yeah, if you can come, you know, we can have dinner with my parents. It'll be great.
I'd love to.
Yeah.
Thank you for that hookup. It's the best. I've like taken everyone who's come to visit me here. I'm like, oh, okay. I'll show them a good first night is by taking them to Kimball House.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty charming, the whole experience. You know, it's like the location. It's kind of nice. It feels quiet.
It's the Balthazar of the South. I've said it for years.
It is the Balthazar of the South.
Yeah, I've said it. I've said it. You know, you guys are catching up. All right, we'll have fun, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye. I'm sad to hang up. I'll miss you.
All right. Thanks, Maya.
Bye.
See you soon. Later.